Time now for the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us today. We'll invite your phone calls after the top of the hour, so hold them till then if you want to jot the phone number down. It's 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue, and as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment for our guest. Our guest today, Josephine County Commissioners, we have a quorum. We have two out of three so far. Wait a minute.
Herman's on his way up the tarmac as I speak.
Oh, is he running in?
He's not running in. He's on his way up the tarmac. Don't give him the running part. No.
All right. Not right. He is advancing.
Towards the front door of the KJO Radio.
All right. Welcome, first of all. Let's say congratulations, John West, to your chairmanship of the Josephine County Board of Directors. Is that a pretty heavy hat to wear?
Yes, it is.
It's more of a helmet.
lot to learn and follow. What we've got going on. So it's a good leadership role.
Yeah. All right. Well, congratulations. We'll be following you through that and letting him catch his breath here. And Herman Bertschinger just coming pretty close to time. You're getting better all the time. You're getting closer.
Yeah. Well, I didn't run here.
Yeah. All right. Mr. Bertschinger and Mr. DeYoung also in studio today. And, gentlemen, welcome. Thank you very much. What is your constituency? What are you dealing with right now before we get into some of the business about tomorrow? But first of all, John, let's start with you. You've got the big hat these days. What are your constituents telling you?
Well, it's a new year, 2024. We're getting into the budget season. The county budget, the sheriff's budget, all the budgets that come along. So we've implemented our new 110 ordinance to combat 110. That's went in effect, I think, the 4th of January. So that's a new one that's really going to be hopefully it'll help our county out. So just our day-to-day activities, and it's going to get busy.
I understand that. Mr. Bertschinger, what are your constituents telling you?
Well, I think I'll tee up on the library district. That's been in the newspaper quite a bit. A lot of misinformation out there, so maybe we'll be able to clear the air a little bit. So ever since the formation of that district, which takes in basically the city of Grants Pass, a small community out in Williams, another one out in Cave Junction and Wolf Creek, so it's not the whole county. It's just these high-density areas. Well, people have historically wanted to annex in a few people here and there that didn't live in those areas, and the commissioners have been granting those over the years as they come up. And a while back, somebody wanted to withdraw from the district. So, we talked to our folks and they came up, they said, yeah, there's a way to do that. And this is how we see that we should proceed. So we granted that. And then there were some questions that came up from some people one day in our Wednesday business session that I took very seriously. And as they were citing on some statutes that I never heard of before, I kind of looked, on my cell phone, and I seen there were some statutes that I haven't been aware of that brought up some interesting questions about the withdrawal. So I took time out from the meeting. I was chair there. I went over and talked to legal counsel about it. They couldn't give me any answers at that time. I came back, and I asked for the commissioners for a motion that we table the subject until we can figure out this new information that's been given to us. The next day we had a workshop, and the three commissioners agreed to put a moratorium on annexing in or withdrawing until we can figure out this process. So legal team really went to work on this. It's very complicated. The statutes are not clear. They're open for interpretation. It seems like every time you get another legal mind looking at it, you get a little bit different twist. Because what we want to do, we want to follow the statutes. We want to have a process that is easy for the citizens to follow, both for annexing in and withdrawing out. During this, we found out we weren't even doing it correctly, letting people annex in. We weren't doing the process correctly. So we've got that cleared up. The library district obviously filed a court case. It's a very emotional subject for them. They're perfectly fine with people annexing in. They don't want nobody to withdraw out. I can understand that. So now then the judge put a stay on withdrawals, but the commissioners already put a stay on withdrawals before the judge did. Didn't take a lawsuit to do that. And so we're working through this. I will tell you the process is different for withdrawing. We're not completely done doing our analysis of that process. The bar is much higher. It's much higher. It takes a lot more to withdraw than it does to annex in. But as soon as we work through this, we get an opinion out of the judge, and we will have a withdrawal process that people will be able to follow, and it'll be as simple as possible, just like we've made the annex process as simple as possible. But I will tell you, I'll reiterate, withdrawing is going to be it's a lot higher bar. So that's the story on the library district.
All right. Do we know for sure exactly where this is going to fall right now? Do we know where that bar is going to be set?
You know, since we're still in the analysis stage, I don't think I can go into much more detail because we still got a few different takes on it. So I'll just have to wait till we finalize it. But I'm confident saying that the bar is higher. It's the test is more than annexing in.
But you will be able to opt out.
There will be a process, but it's going to take a little more energy.
All right. Will that affect any other taxing districts?
Well, there's only special taxing districts that so like school districts and other districts. This doesn't affect those. Mm-hmm. Okay, they have their own rules. So I think there's like 20 some special taxing districts that it could affect. But it's not as easy as you think it is. It's a lot easier to annex in than it is to withdraw. So there's certain criteria that you're going to have to meet.
All right. Since then, I'm under the impression that the commissioners have allowed some opting in. About four different properties have been added.
Right. Because we've got that fixed. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's a document that you can pick up at the county commissioner's office. You can fill it out and start that process. We got that one figured out. The withdrawal process, we're not quite done yet.
No, so we're still working that out. Working within the county or within the state level? Where's the work being done?
I think at the county level, we're pretty well got it figured out, but we have to wait until we get some input from see what the judge says, and then to see if there's any discrepancies from what he comes up with. These are very old statutes going back to the 50s, and since then, other statutes have been created, and it's just – it's. Chuck, I used to run into this in the legislature. There needs to be a fix because instead of just having one statute that gives you the template how to do this, there's a series of statutes that all have bits and pieces in them and that you got to put them all together. And it really needs to be fixed. But until it gets fixed, we will come up with a template.
Okay. So there is a way to withdraw from at least the library taxing district, but that wouldn't affect the new law enforcement district at all.
I don't know if I can comment on that right now. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm focused on this library district. But like I said, there's a series of statutes there, and it gets really complicated really fast. I'm sorry for that. I'd like to see the legislature fix it, whether they do or don't. I'd never like to see a series of statutes with each statute has a little piece in it. I like to see a statute that has all the pieces in it, but that's not what we have, sadly, right now.
All right. Have we reached out to the legislature to see if there is a fix in store, or is this a low priority?
I had some preliminary conversations, but not yet because we don't know exactly what we need.
So. All right. Well, we'll move on and see where this lands. Everybody's watching. All right.
Yep.
Dan, welcome. He's with us here. We didn't. You're not nodding off over there, are you, Dan?
Oh, no, I'm not. No, I just want to reiterate that this is in the hands of the circuit court right now. Mm-hmm. So for us to speculate, just like Commissioner Beartrigger says, we can't speculate on what's going to come down, what the judge is going to see. Right now, the judge has asked for information from our staff in the Board of County Commissioners office. And, you know, they've received all of that on time. So we'll just see how it turns out. It's just things that have to go its course, and I know that the firm that the library district is hired is a pretty predominant firm out of Jackson County. So, but we'll just have to wait and see how it is. I don't have any comment one way or the other. Commissioner Baratrigger is absolutely right. We did turn in we have some opt-ins, but the opt-out is going to be different because, number one, you are opting out against the voter, the will of the voter in that district, and the other one, you're opting in, agreeing with the voter. So I don't know. That may come into play, but I'm not a lawyer. So
all right.
Other than that, what else is going on in the county? I was a judge, by the way, at the chili cook-off for the sheriffs this last weekend. That was great.
That's enough. Okay.
That's enough. But it was great.
Everybody understands.
They had a lot of entrance in there and those people really get, that's competitive. There's a lot of trash talk on Facebook and whatnot back and forth. And a lot of it was between the sheriff and his wife because they both have a bowl of chili, a pot of chili that they bring, but it was a lot of fun. It's good for the sheriff and all of his people.
All right. Did you pick a winner?
I didn't pick the winner. No, I did not. I was number 13 is all I know. And it was, all of them were really good. I think it was hard to judge because, you get, after a while, you get a taste in your mouth. And then if one comes up that, whoa, that blew that away. I had one that I took three or four spoonfuls of, and now that was really tasty. I walked about three steps and grabbed a bottle of water. It was one of those catch you when you're not looking.
Get late fire.
Yeah. As soon as I turned my back on that pot of chili, it hit. So it was a lot of fun.
All right. Gentlemen, first of all, let's deal a little bit with tomorrow's business session. And in terms of some lighter agendas that we've seen over the holidays, this one looks fairly full, but it looks like it's all first of the year housekeeping stuff. Is that a fair assessment, John?
Well, we have a public hearing first out of the gate on just some adjustments of the fiscal year. And then we have some collective bargaining stuff that we'll be discussing. And then further down, we have some in our consent calendar, just some advisory committee of the law enforcement and just some stuff that's come before us over the last week or so. So it looks full, but it's pretty light, really.
All right. Essentially, the public hearing is for the supplemental budget for fiscal year 2024. This is just really adjusting everything. No major changes in the budget. This is adjustment or things that haven't been paid for or cost more than expected, and all of those adjustments being made, just making sure that the bottom line is balanced.
Yeah, making sure our books balance. And you get partway through and something comes up that because of inflation or whatever, maybe cost a little bit more than you had budgeted. And so we make some adjustments to cover that. And so, but we got to do a mid-season supplemental budget to get that on track.
And this is state mandated.
Yeah.
We have some stuff that, for instance, it was in last year's budget. We allocated the money, but the equipment or whatever it is we purchased didn't come in until this year. So now you have to allocate in this year money you budgeted for last year. So you're just making those adjustments. You do the same thing in your own home.
Okay. So,
but we have to do it in public.
Nothing major or outlandish is happening. This is just really crossing T's and dotting I's.
Yeah, just making sure that, we get everything done correctly. And so when the auditors go through it, we've met all of our obligations and did it in the timely manner. And as Commissioner said, there's some things that, was purchased in one and it's carried over. And so those got to be brought forward in the supplemental.
Under administrative actions, you've got approval of the collective bargaining agreement between the county and the Laborers International Union of North America. So can you give us a quick outline of what we're approving here in terms of what's going on with the union in wage increases? What's the cost going to be the county?
Do you want to take that, Commissioner?
Well, the unions, of course, with this massive inflation we've seen for the last 3 years and I've alluded to this several years ago, that anytime you have inflation, you have a lag time, and then employees feel the effect of the inflation, so they come back and they need more money too. And so that's what's happening. So there will be some COLA increases. There will be some adjustments on how the county pays PERS for them and some other things like that. And so we deal with five unions, I think, in a county. I think we deal with five different unions, four or five. They're all a little bit different, but kind of the same. But it's mostly over COLA increases, which is cost of living increase. And that's just because, you know, everybody's experienced this inflation for the last 3 years. I was looking at some numbers, Chuck, and it's just, you know, of course, this is a national average, and we're a very poor county. So what do I mean by poor county? It means that the average income is pretty low. It's like 29,000 something. Okay. So when you look at national average issues or numbers, you got to keep that in the back of your mind. But a family of four is paying $11,000. It's taking $11,000 per year more to do the same things they did 3 years ago.
All right. Those numbers are not a surprise to anybody who's been to the grocery store.
Exactly.
All right.
And, you know, these pundits that I hear in the news that say, oh, inflation is going to only be 3.5 or 3.6.
That's
know?
In addition to what is happening.
Right. They forget that, oh, that's great. I'm glad it's down. But that doesn't make up for the last 3 or 4 years.
It's still going up.
And it also doesn't include energy or food, correct?
It does not.
That's your biggie.
Yeah, energy or food, it doesn't include. So I understand all that. The struggle as commissioners, how do we offset that with income? Because we don't have any control over how much flows into the county. We really don't. We have control on how much flows out. The state statutes say we have to balance. So if the outflows are more than the inflows, there has to be adjustments made. And I think that's going to be the real discussion in the future.
All right. I just ran through very, very quickly the budget document online. And just generally effective for the first full pay period preceding August 1st of 2023, the compensation of the bargaining unit employee in all pay grades, step one and higher, shall be increased by 4.5%.
And that's just that one union.
That's just the one union,
yes.
And you've got at least four others to deal with. And as a taxpayer, I say, ouch. As a person who goes to the grocery store, I say, golly, that's about not quite getting us even to where we were 4 years ago.
Well, another thing to remember is that all these union negotiations, we do that behind closed doors. That's executive session stuff. This is the result of a lot of work from HR in dealing with the different unions and whatnot. They bring us these proposals, and then we nod our head yes or no, you know. So that's the thing. This is done behind closed doors, because that's union negotiations. It's all supposed to be behind closed doors.
Now, that's not the only part that really cost the county, because there is a portion of the salary that needs to be paid to PERS, and from what I understand, we're not taking out of the employee's paycheck. We're just paying that directly.
Yeah, we're picking up their contribution now.
Right.
Okay, so historically, a certain percentage of the PERS they contributed, we're going to pick that up. The county's going to pick that up. The reason we're doing these things is this is a tough job, because we already have a pretty big turnover in the county. We're not the highest paying county in the state of Oregon. And because of the high demand for employees, especially specialized employees across the country, we find ourselves losing people to other counties. Okay. And so we have to have some way to keep retention. So we hope by doing these things, we can keep retention. But it's a tough job. So, you know, it's a constant balance of, you know, we've got to provide services. We've got to do things. But how do we pay for them? And like I said, my biggest fear going forward in the future is we have no control over the income. We have control over the outflows. The outflows cannot exceed the income.
And then the demand of the public, the taxpaying public, for those services. And they say, well, we want those services, and we want them this and this and this and this, and they want that to increase or stay the same. But if we pay out more in labor to do that. Maybe we have less employees in order to cover that base. So it is, as Commissioner says, it's a tightrope, and we're stuck. All three of us are on the same rope, and it's not very comfortable out here.
I can see walking that tightrope might get a little tenuous. We're going to continue in just a moment. Welcome back, Tuesday Talk Show in Progress. Ladies and gentlemen, County Commissioners in studio, and we've been talking so much here in the first 30 minutes that we are a bit short on time before we go to news. So we've been talking about the budget real quickly, and anybody can jump in and handle this one. We've been talking about the expenses, they're always increasing, and we're a poor county, and we don't have any control of the money coming in. How do you balance this? Something has to go. Is that right?
Like I said, yes, under statute, both the counties and the state and the cities have to have balanced budgets. And so that's why we have these, you know, during the year we might have to have supplemental budgets to make adjustments. Maybe a certain grant didn't come in, or maybe a grant came in that was unexpected. Maybe we had a big expense that we weren't counting on. So that's why you have supplemental budgets. At the state level, Chuck, the legislature does a budget for 2 years. It's biennium. And so they have 2 years. Well, they also have what they call an emergency board, which is made up of the Senate members and House members. So after the legislature balances the budget in the long session, then that emergency board meets time to time to make adjustments in the state's budget. Well, these three guys are the emergency board at the Josephine County level. Okay, and so that's why we make adjustments, because at the end it has to balance. It just has to balance. We're not the federal government. Federal government is the only form of government in the United States that gets to run a deficit. We don't get to do that.
You don't get to do that. Shucks. Just real briefly, we have incoming taxes, which are set. We can't go any higher than 58 cents per thousand. And on top of that, prices are skyrocketing. And so we're looking at any additional income coming from grants, and that's what we're focused on.
So 58 cents, Chuck, what do you think that brings into the general fund that these three gentlemen here get to?
I'm out of time, and I can say it's not enough, but we'll follow up right after news.
Okay, we'll do that.
Good morning. Welcome again to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Just a quick programming note this Friday. About 11:15, we'll be welcoming to the microphones of KAJO our U.S. Congressman Cliff Bentz will be in town. We'll have him here for about 30 to 45 minutes. And, of course, he sits on the Judiciary Committee. We expect to hear about the upcoming impeachment of Mayorkas and perhaps the deposition of Mr. Hunter Biden. So mark that on your calendar this Friday from 11:15 to about noon. In the meantime, we'll return to our studios right now and invite you to make a phone call if you have a question or comment for our guest. The number to call, 541-472-1270. And as soon as, when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. In the meantime, County Commissioners, we're going to continue our conversation here. I believe about the last thing that was said was, what does that 58 cents of property tax that you pay the county really get you, and how much money is that? And do we have an answer to that question here?
Okay, that gets us about $5.5 million.
Okay.
So our budget's in excess of like $85 million. Your property taxes that you pay in Josephine County contributes about $5.5 million, a little more than $5.5 million. That's it.
And if you want to put that even farther, it's only 7.8, I believe, percent of your total tax bill. Mm-hmm. So when you get your total tax bill and it's $3,000, and you say, boy, that blankety-blank county, because we write the check out to Josephine County Collector.
You need to read where all those taxes are going on that statement.
You're writing out the Josephine County Tax Collector, so us three are going to get blamed for all the money that you paid the tax collector. But we, the county itself, to run the county and the courthouse and all that people want us to do for the public is about 7.8% of that tax bill. So, you know, when people, I wrote you a great big check. You didn't write us a great big. You wrote the tax collector a big check. We collect taxes, and then we get to pay. The tax collector gets to pay the schools and pay all the districts and whatnot. And there is no admin fee that can be put on that. In other words, we write the check to the schools, go through all the paperwork, keep it balanced and everything else. There is zero. Usually you can say, okay, I need 2% for admin for doing the work and, you know, the copy machine and all the other stuff. No, that doesn't go with taxes.
Yeah, it's mostly all goes to education.
Yeah.
So both, you know, Three Rivers School and
District Grant 7.
District 7. Also RCC. RCC yeah. gets. And, you know, the schools do what the schools do with money, like put feminine napkins in the boys' room. So those are all great things.
We'll just move on from that one. But the number to call is 541-472-1270 if you have a question or comment about that. Other things that you're dealing with these days, let's see. We've been talking about the collective bargaining agreement and the approval of publishing the annual financial report. That's all on the website and available for viewing right now. But later on in the program, you'll be we do have a call coming in. Let's say good morning. You're on the air. Do you have a question or comment for our guests? Hello? Ah, sorry. Wrong number. At any rate, you'll be closing out your administrative meeting and reconvening as the governing body of the Josephine County Law Enforcement Service District tomorrow. And you've got some things to do there. Are you prepared? What can we expect from that? And what are your duties there?
I think we tabled that till February, didn't we?
Well, that's just a consent calendar. We're not meeting. This afternoon.
No.
We are meeting afterwards. Okay,
yeah,
got it. All right. Yep. So we're going to be meeting because right now we are the committee for that until we get somebody else.
And you've got to fill about five other positions?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Yep.
So we're not filling those five positions today or tomorrow.
No,
tomorrow.
No.
All right.
Nope.
What are we discussing then? Are we going to set the schedule for that? Is that what we're doing tomorrow, Chairman?
It's this afternoon, isn't it?
No, it's
tomorrow.
Right
it is tomorrow.
Yeah. We end our weekly business session, and then we convene the governing body of the Josephine County Law Enforcement Service District. So we still have, I think we're taking applications on the advisory committee for one more week, I believe, and then we'll stop that. Then we'll meet and pick that five-person board. But I think what we're...
You've got to get a budget committee, too.
Yeah. And then we'll start taking applications on the budget committee. But I think what we're doing here is doing our approval of those and just getting some housework done so that we can get started on that when we pick those.
Interesting.
All right, so people be interested in either one of those committees can go online, check the website, or call the office.
Yeah, they can go online or they can come to the office.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to them to submit their application, and we're taking applications probably right up until just about before we're going to pick. So we don't have a lot of applications. Mm-hmm. I anticipated a lot more than what we received so far. What are we,
I think
18?
Yeah, somewhere around 18 so far. That's the advisory. We haven't opened up the
budget committee
yet. We're wanting to do one at a time because you can't be on both. So that allows some of the people that whenever we pick our five, some of those people may want to apply to be on the budget. So,
yep.
Some of the other people.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have another phone call coming in. Good morning. You have a question or comments for a guest here on the air.
Hi, I'm a member of the Chamber of Commerce, a local business owner, and a Josephine County taxpayer. You defunded the OSU Extension office last year. According to county documents, their service district is taxed at about 4 cents per thousand for us taxpayers, and costs Grants Pass residents an average of $8 annually and $6 for rural residents. Will they be funded again? And what have you done as commissioners to educate yourself on what the OSU Extension Office does for our community? And how are you more involved in what they do so that you can know what they do for our community? Because this would be a great loss.
Okay, yes. We have been monitoring that.
Ma'am, can you turn your radio down? We're getting some strange interference here.
Is she still on the line?
Yes, I think you are.
I'm here. Yeah.
Yes. All right. It is abating a bit, so.
Yeah, I don't know if she has her radio on or what. Do you have your radio on, ma'am?
No radio.
No, I don't think it's a radio. There's something else happening here, and we'll try to figure that out. Go ahead and answer if you
okay.
can.
Okay, so we've been meeting with the director from Oregon State University, so there's some obviously some there's some problems that have developed between our participants in the 4-H and Oregon State University. We're trying to resolve those. I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but you need to know that those conversations are going on and will continue to go on. So I don't have an answer for you whether they'll be funded again this year, but we are working with Oregon State University Extension Service to try to resolve these differences between that and our folks at our 4-H program.
All right. Ma'am, were you able to hear Commissioner Brett Sugar?
I was, yes, thank you, and I appreciate that. What have you guys done as commissioners to be more involved and to know more about the Extension Office besides those meetings? Have you guys participated in any of the events that's been going on or come by the office?
Well, I've been pretty aware of it. I mean, in my life, I was when my kids were growing up, I was pretty involved in 4-H, so I have a really good understanding. We're also talking to 4-H leaders, too. But I will tell you, there's still some unsettled conversations between those. You know, they've created the kids in the 4-H program have created their own program now. So this is not going to be an easy conversation.
All right.
Did that help, Ben?
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. We'll try to sort that technical problem out. As we continue, once again, the number 541-472-1270 if you have a question or comment for our guest. And we've been talking about the commissioners convening as the Josephine County Law Enforcement Service District governing body. And that will be happening tomorrow at the end of the regular business session in the Angie Vascar Auditorium. We'll take a pause here right now, get our commercials in, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. County Commissioners in studio. The number to call, 541-472-1270. And we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest today. We've been talking about lots of things coming up on the agenda tomorrow. It's also an annual thing where we're sending out lots of letters asking for coordination with federal agencies for our forest lands. Can we get just a brief explanation on what's happening there?
I think we're begging for coordination.
Yeah, you get your knee pads out.
Yeah, we're begging. So there's always that, you know, are we coordinating or are we cooperating? I've always liked to think that we're kind of doing both, but they seem to want to pick, are you doing coordinating or cooperating? So we've picked coordinating. But I will tell you, I will be perfectly honest with you, this commissioner speaking, we don't have much to say about what they do on federal lands in Josephine County.
Period. All right.
I was at the board meeting for the Association of O&C Counties about 2 months ago. A big, long, it was probably 8 or 9 BLM people in the room. And they went through the whole thing. And they, you know, well, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're doing this, and we're doing that. And I finally, Chairman Freeman said, Commissioner Dion, what do you have to say? And I just started right in. I've been listening to the same gobbledygook for, I don't know how many years. You guys are in the timber industry. You've seen it forever. And it's all the promises, 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 promises. And the one guy, he says, you know, Commissioner Dion, we have heard you. And I said, that's a quote from 3 years ago, when the Douglas Complex, we stood up on that lookout, what was left of the lookout, which was just a smoldering piece of concrete, and we looked over the damage done by the Douglas fire, and you said the exact same thing. We have heard you. I don't think you have, because not only are we harvesting, we're not harvesting what we're supposed to be harvesting for the O&C Act, which, by the way, is an act of Congress, not just some administrative rule. We're not only ignoring that, but we're not anywhere near where you said we were going to be 3 years ago. And now you said you've heard us? You're listening to just the opposite. And I just gave up. I just, you know, threw my hands in and said, you know, you're all going to do what you want. And it doesn't matter how much time O&C spends at it, we spend at it. anybody spends on it. If they don't cut more timber on federal land, the ONC, where we get our timber payments, doesn't get any money, of which we get, Josephine County gets around 12% of whatever's cut statewide on ONC land. Not statewide, but in the ONC counties. So it just keeps going down and down and down, and we're begging for SRS. And, oh, well, now we've given you SRS, so now we don't have to pay you for timber. It just boggles the mind. And it's the taxpayer that gets the shaft because, as Herman has said over and over and over again, and he's absolutely right, timber used to pay for everything, and we weren't depleting the actual stand of timber. It goes up somewhere around 20 to 25, sometimes 30% in growth a year if they cut 500 million board feet, and they don't even do that. It's down in the 200 and something million board feet. I don't know what they're waiting for. I guess they wait for it to burn. I don't know.
Any other comments? How much timber can we really cut? Now, we have our...
We have our own stock.
The county has its own stock, but it's minuscule compared to what the state could in the ONC counties, as I understand it. What are we deriving from our own timber stands?
It depends on what we cut. And mm-hmm. every year, our Streeter, Dave Streeter, is our forester, and he puts forth the timber harvest. Because we are also looking at the health of the forest that we manage. Rather than, let's sort of turn it all into money and clear cut that. We get accused of that all the time. But we're looking at the health of the forest also. John's
We manage our timber on a sustainable.
Yeah.
So, and on a 70 to 90 year rotation. Now, I want to point out, Chuck, and most people don't realize, what happens to the dollars that we get from those logs? So we can't do anything with the money that we sell those properties because the way we acquired them. So if we sold a piece of timber property, we're going to have to use it to go buy other timber property or something in forestry or maybe in parks, depending on how we acquired it. We don't get to use it for general fund. We do get to use for general fund the dollars by the harvesting of timber. And one of our big programs is our juvenile justice. It just about pays for everything for it. So if our forest land, our county forest lands go away, that program goes away, then our juvenile justice probably is going to go away.
So. And let's just, you know, for a moment here, say that juvenile justice program has become one of the leaders in the state in that category.
Absolutely. Jim Goodwin does a great job over there.
It's statewide respected, no doubt.
So that's why I'm speaking for myself, and I think these other two commissioners were very protective over that program and what funds it.
All right. We're at the beginning of a new year right now, and I'll go back to John here right now, because we've been talking with you commissioners for years, quite frankly, about the funding and SRS funds and timber harvest. Can we look ahead a little bit here? Is there a forecast that you guys can make or project or at least dream about the direction the county's heading in this year and 5 years and 10 years down the road? John, is there any thoughts there, any projections that you can make?
Well, you know that the county... in our policies, we were to make a 5-year projection on budgeting and all that, and as you well know, that's very hard to do, because we see inflation go up, we see grants come and go that we rely on in the county, we see money, PILT, SRS, we're supposed to get this much, but then they cut it. So it's really hard to follow a plan for 5 years when you don't know what everybody else is going to do with what they say you're going to get. So, you know, we have a plan for the fairgrounds. We have a master plan. We have plans of different things, and it's all about money, timing, you know, and everything. And right now I think the commissioners, what we're trying to do is provide the citizens with the very best service possible and to keep it affordable and keep our head above water with what we have.
All right, let's move on down the line. Same question, Herman.
So given the fact that about 80% of our entire budget comes from grants and other funding sources, most of it coming from the federal government, those monies kind of come through the state to us. What worries me, so that's a big chunk. Remember what you talked about, only $5.5 million come from the taxpayers here to run the county, and the rest of it comes through these other money sources. When you look at the federal government, they're what, $38 trillion upside down. They're running a $2 trillion deficit this go-around, and it's come out that they need to double the defense budget because of all the things going on in the world, and the defense budget is the largest appropriation of the federal government. So when I look at all of that going on, I get real nervous about funds, a little shortage of funds coming from the federal government through the state to Josephine County. That's what I worry about.
All right. Mr. DeYoung.
Social programs.
Yes.
Look at all the social programs. You know, and Commissioner Bear Trigger is absolutely right when it comes to defense. We've got to defend this country, and we've got to defend our way of life around the world. But when you add up what our social programs, what we just give away, because I came across the southern border, so therefore I get. And I don't know if that were to have gone to the public, you know, for put it on the help list, put it on the ballot, that would have failed miserably. But we don't do that. We just have a tendency to say, and as Irvin says, they just keep that money machine cranking, and it'll all just be a feel good in the morning, and that's not going to happen. We don't know what SRS is going to do. Every year it's an SRS, whether or not our two senators decide that they can put their name on it or not put their name on it. If they decide not to put their name on it, we're done. I mean, we would take a physical knock. Now, I don't have a problem with the grant program, because in the old days they used to just give you money. You spend it wherever you want. But now, when you have a grant program, you apply for the grant, and then the funds are sent out and specifically have to go to that project. So I have no problem with that, because it ensures that there's no hanky-panky, that you're taking money from the schools and giving it to roads or whatever. Another thing is gas tax pays for your roads in Josephine County, by the way. I have a lot of people that write.
That just kicked up about a nickel, too, didn't it?
Well, I pay my property taxes, and my road's got a hole in it. Well, all that is done through gas tax money, and y'all are, you know, turning a little bit more to EVs and whatnot, and getting a lot more miles per gallon. You do the math.
All right, I understand you can get a great deal on a lot of Teslas right now, particularly in
F-550s.
Northern
or
states.
Or F-150s. Yeah. F-1, electric F-150s are on sale.
Yeah. Particularly in the northern regions, at any rate. All right, gentlemen, I've got about a minute left here. What do people need to take away from this program? And what should I ask Cliff Benz when I get him in here on Friday?
Ask him about the deficit and ask him about the defense budget.
Okay.
Really, serious. Yeah. Write that down, Chuck.
Okay.
Ask him what he's putting up for collateral for the deficit.
Oh, okay.
Those are all Federal Reserve notes, you know.
Yes, yes. Okay. All right.
You know, I would like for you to ask him about the water. I see the state's got a lot of programs, and they're wanting to tighten up stuff with drilling wells, the water system. So, you know, he's a resource guy. So see what he thinks about some of that. Because between them wanting to meter wells and wanting to stop drilling wells and wanting to quit pumping so much water out of the ground because it's creating climate change. Let's get onto that and see what he can do.
My time is gone, gentlemen. I want to thank you very much for yours and to all of you. Once again, it's 11:15 Friday for Congressman Cliff Benz.
Grants Pass broadcast.